we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition. But before you bet, Aaron live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button right down there, that subscribe button right down there. See that fancy graphic that we use that says subscribe? Thousands of dollars invested into that graphic. Okay, so a great big show planned for you guys today. We're running a little hot here this week on the show. John Mettler and I combined to go, I think, 5-1 in the NBA last night. So we're going to have our NBA picks. I think it's 4 total at the back end of the show. Of course, it is Thursday. So we're going to start with Thursday night football. We got the Vikings in at Los Angeles taking on the Rams. And smack dab in the middle, we're talking college football. Also a little bit of NFL with our guy Jake Butt, who will be by for his weekly appearance on the show. If you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on X, on YouTube. Let us know what you like in Thursday night football. Sides, total, props. Who's going to win the coin toss tonight? Let us know who. Let us know why. Give us a little breakdown. We'll read a few off throughout the course of the show. Do the same thing for the NBA World Series starts tomorrow. People are very divided on this. Who do you think is going to win? Dodgers, Yankees. We're going to be all over the World Series from a betting perspective on tomorrow's show. Let's get into today's show. Let's bring in my first guest, the man with the sexiest smile on all the sports betting. Jingles. How we doing, buddy?
We're good. Thursday night football. Got a good one. Love indoor football games. Should see some passing. Always, I don't know, a lot of narratives around this game. Will we see TJ Hawkinson? Will we see Puka? I guess it's probably no to both.
Yes, sir. The boys in the chat, P. Bostana, my main man, Joe Waz. What is up, brother? Yoshi Dude says, amazing player props yesterday. Miller under, too easy. I got a little bit of help on that one. He left the game. He probably wasn't going to hit it, let's be fair, but he did end up leaving the game with an injury. So happy I won the bet. Hopefully it's not a serious injury for Miller, though. Hopefully.
Did you injury victory lap it or no?
No, I'm not an asshole like that. My thought is, hey, good, I won my bet. Hopefully it's not a serious injury. Hopefully, I think it was a hip thing. Hopefully they just take him out as a precaution. He'll be right back in. I think the Hornets play again tomorrow. So we shall see there. Enough small talk. Let's get down to business. Let's get right into the action here. Thursday night football going down in Los Angeles. We each have 2 picks. So I'll get us started. I'm going to take the Vikings to simply cover the full game spread. How about that? A meat and potatoes pick here on the show. Vikings -2.5. I'm very shocked to see this get inside of 3 points. I think that this is flat out disrespectful to Minnesota. I think they're going to be able to move the ball with ease in this game, especially through the air. 4th in yards per pass attempt versus 27th in yards per pass attempt allowed. I think the Rams are going to have trouble scoring points in this one. Matthew Stafford's going to be feeling the heat back there tonight. 1st in quarterback pressure percentage for the Vikings, who are 4th in sacks, taking on a Rams team that is allowing the 5th most quarterback pressure. And weird week here for the Rams, right? Everything points to them being sellers here at the deadline. You're hearing about Cooper Kupp. He's probably available. I heard a weird rumor about Matthew Stafford yesterday. I don't know how much truth there is to that. But Stafford's also having a really bad season. So are the Rams just waving the white flag here? You know, is everyone going to be fully motivated to get up for this game here? Short rest? Who knows? A bit tricky for them. And then Matthew Stafford, yeah, you got the excuse, obviously. The 2 wide receivers have not been there, but he's been unable to overcome that, unable to overcome a bad offensive line. This is his worst quarterback rating since his rookie season. He's getting hit a lot, too. He's been sacked 3 or more times in 4 of his last 5 games. I think good teams that have good coaching bounce back after losses. I think the Vikings have really good coaching. They lost last week. I think they bounced back here tonight on Thursday Night Football. Jingles, prop number 1 for you. What do we got?
I was talking about it this morning, but finally got some markets on Jalen Naylor. Yay! Let's go. Wide receiver 3. He's finally separated himself with Powell for the number 3 spot, and we know this offense runs a ton of 3 wide receiver sets. Coming off a season high, 73% snap share, 81% route share. Those are big numbers for a modest number at 25.5 at an indoor game. like I said, he's leapfrogged Brandon Powell, and a lot of that, how I read into that, and if it's going to go forward, was it's coming after the bye. So it could have been some work within that offense in the bye. We saw it last week. The Rams, 24th in success rate, 28th in EPA per pass versus the pass. They're an easy team to pass against. So let's go Jalen Naylor over a modest number of 25.5. And I'm not sold on TJ Hockenson actually playing. So if he does get ruled out, we might see this number creep up. But 25.5 is a pretty good number considering he went 4 for 76 last week on 5 targets.
Okay, my favorite prop for the game tonight, a simple one. I'm going to take Matthew Stafford to throw at least one interception, over half an interception, coming in at minus 110. So as I discussed in my pick for the Vikings, the Vikings bring the heat. The highest pressure percentage in the NFL, that's going to force Stafford to get rid of the ball quicker. Minnesota leads the NFL with 11 interceptions coming into this week, and he's thrown an interception now in 3 straight games. The only games where he didn't throw an interception were against the 49ers and the Cardinals. Both of those teams rank in the bottom half of the league in pressure percentage. And he's been a little sloppy throughout his career on Thursday night football. 8 picks in his last 6 Thursday night football games. So a little bit of a trend there. So I think Stafford will throw at least one interception, minus 110 odds on that one. Jingles, your final pick here for Thursday night football. What do we got?
Yeah, let's keep going. Matthew Stafford, passing volume through the roof today, over 33.5 pass attempts, minus 114. The Blitz released it yesterday. Projects for 36.7. Kupp is back. Obviously, will increase that pass volume. 49 passes in week one versus Detroit indoors when he finally had him in that lineup. This projection doesn't have Puka not playing. So if he does play, the small chance that he does play, this will obviously look even better. The thing that I like is you already talked about the blitz. Obviously, nobody blitzes more than Minnesota. But Las Vegas, they played Las Vegas last week, also a high blitzing team. So they play back-to-back weeks versus a team where they don't really have to change too much of their game plan in terms of picking up that blitz. But because of all that Minnesota blitzing, this is a team or a defense that gives up a ton of short passes. They're 8th in average yards per completion, but they also allow 41 pass attempts per game. And that has a lot to do with, well, they've been winning one, but when that blitz comes, like, you got to get it out quick. You don't have time to take shots. So expect some more shorter passes. If you're looking for guys to stack against yards, maybe look to on the side of receptions as opposed to yards. So maybe more pass volume as opposed to yards in that sense when you're looking at Rams guys. Tutu Atwell, I got a little bit of the over on him actually in yards for a modest number two. Little Tutu excitement. Tutu and Naylor, both 50. I think that's about 10 to 1, 12 to 1 in that spot. So maybe a little lotto on my end in a game I'm expecting pass volume, pass efficiency to go up because it's indoors.
Yeah, we got to see if the Vikings can get back on track in this game. You know, of course, they lost last week to the Lions. They were pretty sloppy in that game in England against the Jets, too. They almost tried to give that game away. So I think maybe a get-right game again for them against the Rams team.
I thought Dan Campbell was going to shoot himself in the foot, Joe, right out of the gate. He went for it on fourth down on like the first drive, and it didn't go well. You're like, oh, he's going to lose this game himself. But no, it was nice to see him come back, but in the spot. But it was really interesting. Back on the blitz thing, Las Vegas blitz a lot. The Rams kept Kyron Williams in a ton. He only ran 9 routes last week because he had to protect. You already mentioned Matthew Stafford getting hit a lot because of that O-line obviously suffering a lot of injuries already this year. Watch for Kyron Williams to have to stay in and block. Already on his under 2.5 receptions, the blitz released that. The plus money's gone. I think it's still good at maybe even money if you can find it too.
All right, my man, let us leave it at that for Thursday Night Football. You're going to be back with us tomorrow, our biggest show in a long time tomorrow, because we're doing NFL, college football, World Series Game 1, and NBA. You're going to be on the NFL and World Series beat with me. So best of luck with your bets here tonight, buddy, and we'll catch you
tomorrow. All right, enjoy the show. Take care.
Yes, sir. Checking in on live chat. Paul is on Jordan Addison, the longest reception over 19.5. and 5+ receptions. Good luck with that bet here tonight, Paul. Okay, guys, earlier this morning, I interviewed Jake Butt talking everything about college football and the NFL, also some of his favorite picks here for the weekend. So let's throw to that. All right, it is now time for our weekly conversation with our guy, former Michigan Wolverine analyst for the Big Ten Network. Let's bring in our guy, Jake Butt. Jake, what's shaking? How we doing?
Joe, how are you doing? I'm doing well, but I want to know how you're doing.
I'm good. I tell you, I love this time of the week. All the research is done. You know, we're still doing shows and stuff like that, but I'm over the hump of the hard work of the week, and the game's about to start playing out here. I can't wait.
If you're good, I'm good. And how about this one? I got a little, it'll be extra special. Do you know who this is?
Ooh, a lumberjack of...
The lumberjack. It's Paul Bunyan. And I'm on the call for Michigan State this weekend. It doesn't have conference title implications, but it's the most underrated rivalry in all college football. It's the Battle of Paul Bunyan. So I won my senior year, and we all got a little mini Paul Bunyan. So it's rivalry week, baby. I'm excited.
Okay, well, let's start with that then, actually. Then we'll get into some more games later in the segment here. But Michigan State, who's got the edge here? What do you like in this matchup?
I don't know who has the edge. And kind of calling these games, my goal is to always see a path to victory for both teams, and I completely see that. Michigan's favored in this one, but, I mean, I'll tell you what, Michigan State, they showed a lot. Their last game versus Iowa, they look like a completely different ball team. So the storyline for Michigan State is under D'Antonio, they had an identity. Defense, run the ball, trench play, okay? And then Mel Tucker comes in and he tries to modernize this, and they completely lost their identity. Well, then they go hire Jonathan Smith from Morgan State this offseason, and it's come all the way back around. Their defensive coordinator is a guy by the name of Joe Rossi. At Minnesota, consistently had top 10, top 20 defenses. Their defense completely shut down the Big Ten's best running back in Iowa's Caleb Johnson. Offensively, how about this? They ran for 49 yards versus Oregon, 57 versus Ohio State, and versus Iowa, which we know, great defense, 212 yards on the ground. So it comes at a good time for Michigan State. Michigan basically is the exact same team as Iowa, same philosophy, everything. So I think it was a big step for Michigan State last week. And then for Michigan, there's no way their talent, like the way that their record and the product they put on the field does not reflect the talent they have on the roster. I just don't believe that. They are much more talented. So I don't know what the missing ingredient is, but you have to imagine. And I imagine at some point we see Michigan play a clean football game. They'd love for it to be this week.
Okay, let's bounce over to the NFL, then we'll go back to college, then we'll go back to the NFL, and let's talk NFL trade deadline here. So a lot of big moves, a lot of big-name receivers on the move, DeAndre Hopkins over to the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, and we're seeing a lot of, like, tonight, for instance, the Los Angeles Rams. We're hearing Cooper Kupp's name. It looks like he might be on the table. And to me, when you're trading these marquee players, to me, it kind of signifies we're waving the white flag. We're not going to give the best effort we have. We're not even at the midpoint of the season here. So my question to you is, what do you think the vibes are like in these locker rooms where these teams are essentially waving the white flag?
I know what they're like, and it's dreary and dark and empty and emotional. Because, you know, you think about you know, I guess DeAndre Hopkins has bounced around a little bit, so it's different. But, you know, when I was in Denver, you know, usually if you're a team that's kind of throwing in the white flag, you're going to trade your best players to recoup the most assets, right? So when you think about it in Denver, that was Von Miller, Demaryius Thomas, rest in peace, Emmanuel Sanders, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris. Like, so those guys happen to also be your culture setters and your leaders. So as you can see, the structure of your team then gets messed around with because those are the guys that are on the trade block. What's really wild though, Joe, is every team, you know, I'd be in the training room. You have TVs in the training room. You have TVs in the locker room, TVs everywhere. And they're all blasting like First Take or whatever. It's all sports. So you're in the locker room while your teammate's face is on ESPN and they're talking about potential trade scenarios. That's freaking nuts, right? The other piece of this is, say, you know, for me, I wasn't going to get traded. there's no assets to be recouped. But what if the team trades for a guy at my position? All of a sudden, then I could be cut, right? So it's no one's really, when there's change, anything can happen. So no one's really safe. The flip side of this, though, is think about the teams that do receive these big players and the inspiration that that can lead to. So there's two sides to every coin. I remember texting my agent my rookie year. I was like, man, is the trade deadline always this crazy? And he's like, you'll see next year. Yes, it's always this crazy. It's just a madhouse, including like free agency as well. But the trade deadline is another level.
Yeah, maybe not the most comfortable mood for the Los Angeles Rams coming into this game here tonight. Okay, let's bounce over to college and let's talk big picture here. Let's take a look at the National Championship Futures Odds Board. And it is tight, Jake, at the top. Now, here's how they are ranked. Georgia is the favorite, plus 350 coming off that big win last week, followed by Texas, plus 400, followed by Ohio State, plus 475, then Oregon, plus 500. Do you think the sportsbook has these teams in the right order?
Yeah, so this is the funny thing, right, where the AP voters and college football playoff as well, like, what the sportsbooks are trying to answer is who's most likely to win the national championship. What the voters have to consider is resume and wins and losses. So when you're talking about resume and wins and losses, you know, obviously Oregon, they're undefeated, is number one. You could talk about Georgia. That was such an impressive win. Wow. The defense was dominant, completely dominated Texas. And I think that's why, if you were going to pick a national champion, that's why Georgia is favored by the sports books. Like a completely dominating performance to go with their earlier season dominating performance over Clemson. I still really like Ohio State. I think that loss is as good as it gets. 1 point on the road, had a chance to win late. I love their roster. There seems to be, and I follow this now, like, you know, a little bit of a rife between Ryan Day and his coordinators because they have not forced a punt in the fourth quarter of all of their last games against now Oregon, Michigan, Georgia, and the college football play. That's concerning. And I still like Texas. I know we talked last week. I thought their offensive line was by far the best in college football, and that was going to take them home. Georgia completely proved that wrong. I mean, that was a dominating performance. So I think the sports book is more reflective of reality than the AP rankings.
Okay, let's talk Clemson football. They got off to an embarrassing start to their season, that game against Georgia. But I think quietly here, they put together a six-game win streak. A lot of these games, not even close. I guess a knock could be, well, Joe, they haven't really played anybody. But they've been quietly climbing that national championship futures odds board. The six best odds at 16-1. So my question to you is, do you think that they could be a little bit of a sleeper here come playoff time to pull off some upsets? Or you just look back to that week one game and say, no, not going to happen?
Yeah, I like the way you framed that question, because let's just answer it this way. Like, do I think Clemson has improved from that week one performance? Yes. Like, do I like the way they've been playing? Yes. Do I really like their trenches? The front seven defensively, their defense is extremely experienced. Yes, I like that. I like the fact that their quarterback, Cade Klubnik, is finally playing to a standard. He's putting up great numbers and great stats, and it looks like that Clemson offense that we're accustomed to seeing. But then you look at the schedule and see the teams they've been beating up on, and it's not Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, or Oregon, right? So I think what part of this is the schedule. You're asking the question, do I think they could make some upsets late in the season? I do, depending on the matchup. I do not think they have the horsepower to beat any of the top four teams, as we saw already once versus Georgia.
Okay, let's get into some of the games here this week. And we got some midweek college football, of course, going on. We got a couple games tonight, maybe flying under the radar, going up against the NFL. Looks like we could have a couple competitive games here. I don't think there's going to be a lot of eyes on Georgia Southern, Old Dominion. Old Dominion favored by a point, but we have Syracuse plus 5.5 at Pitt. Any thoughts on either of those games?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. This has become an extremely important game. Pitt has been one of the more quiet teams in college football. They're undefeated. They're rolling. And this is a big opportunity for Pitt to kind of change their national perception, because Syracuse also has completely turned their program around with a new head coach, obviously new coordinators, new coaching staff, roster turnover. Their quarterback Kyle McCord. He was the leftovers. Ohio State ran him out of town, and he's been freaking balling. So the key to this game is Syracuse. It's quite simple. It's Kyle McCord, their receivers, and their tight ends. They have an elite, elite passing attack. They don't run the ball. So Pitt has got to have a game plan with that in mind to slow down that passing attack and take advantage of some opportunities, maybe to create turnovers. This is going to be a high-scoring, close game. Pitt has a stud kicker in Ben Sauls. Like, if it comes down to a field goal, this guy's playing at, like, an All-American level. So if it comes down to a field goal, I trust Pitt to pull this one out.
Okay, let's go to Saturday here. Illinois, Oregon. Big spread here. Oregon favored by 21 points here. And, hey, there was no letdown spot for the Docs after beating Ohio State. They followed that up by shutting up Purdue 35-0. Now they take on a 20th-ranked Illinois team, 6-1 on the season, fresh off that win against Michigan. Is Illinois being slept on a little bit here? 21 points.
Yeah, and that's we loved that bet earlier when Illinois went on the road to Penn State and was able to cover the spread. It was a big spread in that game. This one's very interesting because Oregon is a team that struggled against the spread earlier in the season, right? They had close matchups with like Idaho and Boise State. And then what we've seen is a complete transformation of their trench play. Their offensive line has been absolutely dominant, didn't give up a single sack, barely any negative plays versus Ohio State. Then you follow up like the mental test of playing Purdue, which historically we call them the spoiler makers here in the Midwest. They love to upset top ranked teams. And yet Oregon, coming off an emotional win, goes on the road and completely stomps Purdue. If anything, this game is now the trap game because you've kind of... This game is the one where you've had the emotional win. You answer the test versus the spoiler makers. This game is the trap game. On paper, Joe, Illinois is not built to hang with Oregon. Simply put, this is the key. They're not a great defense by any statistical. They're right middle of the pack, passing, scoring, total, everything. What Illinois has done is forced turnovers. They're top three in the conference in turnovers forced. Number one in forced fumbles. Sometimes turnovers are luck. I have to acknowledge that. But in the game versus Michigan, clean peanut punch, that's one fumble. They hit Donovan Edwards, helmet on the football, day one peewee install. That's another fumble. Like, this starts to become their identity. So for them to cover this spread, simply they have to do something to tip the scales in their favor. I'm looking at turnovers to be that metric. Dylan Gabriel has been loose with the football at times this year. That's pretty much what this comes down to. If Oregon decides to punt and doesn't turn the ball over, this is going to be a clean, clean win for the Ducks.
All right, let's talk another ranked matchup here with another big spread. Alabama in shambles a little bit here, or a lot, I think it's fair to say. They're favored by 16.5 points against Missouri. So Bama trying to put the pieces back together, 1-2 in their last three games. Missouri, meanwhile, 6-1 on the season. Last time they played a ranked team, it was Texas A&M. They got spanked in that one, Jake. Do you think Alabama can spank them in this one?
Someone needs to get spanked up there, man. I don't know what the hell's going on with Alabama. First time with two losses before the month of November since Saban's first year. When you want to talk about a changing landscape in college football, what the heck was that last weekend? I'll tell you one thing, though, Joe. The formula for Alabama to win, it can't be having Milroe throw the ball 40-plus, 50-plus times. That's just not the case. And there's a certain discipline that you have to have. Bama cannot get bored with the four-yard runs, the five-yard runs. It felt like they were trying to press, trying to win the game in one play by dropping him back and throwing. You have got to run this football. And the big reason for that, too, is you have to control the clock. You have to keep your defense fresh. And you have to impose your will. You're Alabama. Missouri has a great quarterback in Brady Cook, tons of NFL wide receivers. So this one comes down to, it's quite simple. Is Alabama willing to be disciplined, run the football, play ball control, sustain drives, and keep Missouri's offense on the sideline? That's the key. If they do, I do think Bama can win. But it really comes down to that. And when you talk about a spread of that size, what I'm saying the winning formula is to run the ball. You see, that's a lot of points, and I think Bama's winning formula has to be to run the football and slow the game down.
Okay, let's go to Saturday night. This looks like a lot more of a competitive game, maybe the game of the week here in primetime. LSU, Texas A&M, A&M favored by 2.5, a total of 54. So similar seasons for each of these teams. They each had a disappointing loss in their season opener. Then since then, each team has rattled off six straight wins. Who do you think has the edge in this one?
Right. Isn't that interesting too? I mean, gosh, and look at the losses. Like LSU loses to USC. What the heck's going on? That's a bad loss in hindsight, right? A&M loses at home to Notre Dame. I get it. Notre Dame's playing well, but you know, not A&M's playing much better. And yet we can say that these teams have changed and matured, and you can throw those early games out because they have been red hot. This is a clashing of identities. LSU's quarterback is Nussmeier. His dad, Doug Nussmeier, was my offensive coordinator at Michigan, actually. So that's just a fun fact for you. LSU is built, their entire game plan is to throw the football. On the flip side, A&M, they can't throw the football. Their entire game plan is to run the football. So which identity prevails? I will say this, I was looking at this yesterday. A&M, when you're talking about running the football, they're going to be without one of their veteran guys on the interior. Chase Bezontis, guard, played over 400 snaps, 500 snaps in his career. When you're talking about your ability to run the football, veteran presence helps. So can those guys step up around him? But you're right. This is a very important game. The SEC, extremely, extremely deep. Playoff picture too, man. Gosh, I'm going to go on a tangent here.
Sure.
We had an issue with the BCF national championship, right? Because we didn't always get the right two. So then we say, all right, let's go to a four-team playoff. We have issues there, right? Like there's six teams, and you don't always get the top four right. Now you have the 12-team playoff. There's going to be issues once again, man. There's going to be 6 to 8 teams that feel that they've done enough to get in and won't get in. This is one of those games that's going to, you know, decide that. You know, the loser of this game is going to have a long road to climb out of if they want a chance to make the playoffs. So from a playoff implication standpoint, critically important.
Okay, Jake, the time has come to get into some best bets here. We'll do college, then NFL. You like Indiana. They're favored by 6.5 against Washington. And you also have a rare player prop for us. We don't have a lot of people giving out college football player props on the show. So break these ones down for us.
Okay, so first off, last week, that game, Indiana versus Nebraska, was one of the most impressive wins of the season. I mean, it was like Nebraska wasn't there. Indiana is like a train, steam rolling down the tracks, and teams just happen to be in their way. Like, they don't even care who it is. They just run over every single team. Nebraska had one of the best defenses in the country. They hadn't allowed a rushing touchdown all season before that, and Indiana completely dominated. The key here to this game, their starting quarterback, Curtis Rourke, who was playing at really like a Heisman-type level, he's out, maybe out for a little while. So in comes their backup, Taven Jackson. Here's why I'm not discouraged at all. He was 7 for 8 on the day with 2 touchdowns and 91 yards. The only incompletion was a drop on third down that would have went for 30 yards. So he should have had 100% completion rate, over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. The system is what's been so impressive for the Hoosiers. I just don't see that change. There's no way that changes this week. Game day is going to be in town. The energy around the program is exciting. I like Washington. I don't like Washington to win this game. Indiana's going to steamroll over them. You want my player prop, though?
Let's go.
All you guys, all right? Jeremiah Smith, the freshman wide receiver for Ohio State, over 73.5 yards, okay? We saw in the Oregon game, up against the clock, where did Will Howard look? He was looking Jeremiah Smith's way. Will Howard's favorite target this season has been Jeremiah Smith, the true freshman. And here's why I love this bet. You go back down his games. Versus Oregon, he had 100 yards. Versus Iowa, 89 yards. Versus Michigan State, 83 yards. Marshall, 70 yards. Versus Western Michigan, he had 119 yards. So on this, he consistently is beating this mark. And they're playing a Nebraska defense that we just talked about it. What happened when they played Indiana? Ohio State runs the similar offense to Indiana. This feels like a game where Ohio State's going to want to get right after that Oregon loss, and they're going to do it through their talented receiver, Jeremiah Smith.
Okay, let's talk best bet NFL. I was pretty surprised when you submitted this one. One of those bets where you might have to plug your nose and hit the bet button. You're taking the Browns +9 here this weekend. Tell us why you like them on Sunday to cover the number. Probably not win the game, but at least make it a game, right?
That's a lot of points in the NFL. That is a lot of points in the NFL. I remember my rookie year and like our rookie symposium. they were talking about the product of the NFL and how something absurd, like 80% of games are within one score in the fourth quarter, right? It's just not built. Blowouts happen.
Yeah.
They're not common. And the big reason I'm betting this is because I think Deshaun Watson, I think he's a worse quarterback than Jameis Winston. I think Winston is an upgrade. Fair. I mean, clearly a talented quarterback. And I also think there's a leadership aspect, too, of Jameis Winston that's going to inspire his teammates. 9 points is a heck of a lot of points. I don't think the Browns have a terrible roster. The Ravens have been shaky this year. I believe this one is in Baltimore, right? So the Browns are going on the road. But 9 points, way too much for me. I think the Browns cover this one.
Yeah, maybe they do get a little bit of a spark with Watson out of the building and a new guy stepping in here at the quarterback position. Okay, Jake, we will leave it at that. Thanks again for joining. As always, best of luck on the call here for Michigan, Michigan State this weekend. Best of luck with those bets, and we'll catch you again next Thursday.
Thanks, Joe. Great to see you.
All right, baby, checking in on the live chat. Todd Alibert, Jake Butt knows ball. You're damn right he does. Former Michigan Wolverine. John Mettler, who's going to join us here in a second, asks the chat, can Cam Ward be the number one overall pick? We obviously have some ACC football fans in here. Yeah, some guys in there mixing it up, talking Miami, calling Clemson frauds. Carolina Panthers probably going to pick one of these guys, number one overall. They won't be excited to go play for the Carolina Panthers. Okay, a little over 1,400 people watching live on YouTube, most of you guys on X right now. We're going to get into some NBA, third night of the season. What are you betting on tonight? Four games, a couple pretty good ones, some good storylines. So let's bring in our guy, Mr. Sweep, the Magic Ass Man. And John, I owe you an apology. I go 2-1 with my bets last night, but the one I lost on, I took the Heat to cover against your Magic. The Magic absolutely spanked them. How fired up were you about that performance?
I gotta say, I wasn't disappointed that you faded my Magic. I was disappointed that it ruined us bringing back the Sweet Boys on an opening night slate of NBA games, because that would have been epic to go 6-0. So I don't root, you know, obviously you're a fan of a team, betting two different things in my mind. I wouldn't root for you to lose money just because I want my favorite team to win. But I was really disappointed that I was so excited. I was like, we could get the Sweet Boys thing going here, and we didn't get it. We got 5-1. We'll take 5-1.
Yeah, indeed. John is a man of honor, so good night for him there last night. I don't know, nothing overly shocking, I don't think, in the NBA last night. I know the Hornets ended up beating the Rockets. I don't think anyone, you know, not a massive shock there by any means. The Raptors got destroyed. I think we're going to see a lot of that. I was right predicting that the Bucks were just going to run over the 76ers, which they did. So, yeah, and we had a good game in Los Angeles, too, with the Suns and Clippers going into overtime. I was not up watching that one. I would like to get out to that new arena, though, in Los Angeles to see the Clippers play.
Kevin Durant was saying it's the nicest arena he's ever been in, and he said that wall is – he's never seen it. He kind of compared to Oklahoma State in college, but that could be something to keep an eye on, because I don't know what the Suns shot from the free throw line and stuff, but, like, if you're looking at totals and, like, if teams aren't shooting well facing that wall – you know, free throws and stuff, that could affect totals, that it could be specific to that arena. So just a slight betting. I don't know what the numbers were last night, but something to maybe look at.
Yeah, I'd like to get out to Los Angeles, maybe see a Twin Bill, see them one game, then the Lakers the next. You got to get out and see Bronny James, right, before his NBA career wraps up, which might not be long for now. We shall see. Pretty nice rebounding grab, though, the other night. Okay, let's get into our four total bets. We each have two. I'm going to get a start. I'm going to keep going with my trend here, or pattern of targeting a player to fade his point total. Tonight I will be fading Kyle Kuzma. We're going to go under 19.5 points for him. I think we got a lot of ammo to back this one. So he's been awful against the Boston Celtics in recent years. He's topped this number of 19.5 just once in his last 10 matchups against them. He barely cracked the teens in a bunch of these games. Maybe he's still shaking off some rust here too, because he had an awful preseason shooting the ball. He 31.4% shooting for Kuzma, who was a bit of a bum, to be completely fair here. And Another reason why I like taking these unders on player props is potential for a blowout. And if any game tonight has the potential for a blowout, it is this one in Washington. The Celtics are a 13.5-point favorite. These teams played four times last season. The Celtics destroyed them in three of the four games. So we'll fade Kuzma tonight in the nation's capital. John, let's get going with Jaden McDaniels. What do you like for him?
Yeah, Jaden McDaniels. So just because Torian Prince made this look easy on a pretty similar line yesterday doesn't mean Jaden McDaniels will make it look easy today. But yesterday was Torian Prince over 1.5 plus 185. Today it's Jaden McDaniels over 1.5 plus 175. First game against the Lakers, McDaniels didn't play well. Lots of foul trouble, kept having to get subbed out because of it. Only played 16 minutes. That's kind of helping us here. It's a good thing coming into this game and these numbers because it lengthened his numbers just a little bit because that box score just wasn't really what you're expecting from Jaden McDaniels. I mean, only 16 minutes. So the one thing, he's obviously is an elite defender, but when I watched him in preseason, his offensive game does look improved. There's a couple passes he made and I was like, okay, Jaden McDaniels, like I see the playmaking's caught up. And you also see them running him in some like pick and roll actions. And he was like pretty much purely a stand the corner, shoot threes guy. And they seem to be getting a little more mixed in there. Not the reason why I bet it, but I feel like, you know, obviously there's narrative and like kind of motivation behind it. His older brother was on the Sacramento Kings to start the year, got traded from the Toronto Raptors to the Kings, and they cut him before the season started. So, I mean, if you're playing the team that cut your older brother, imagine there's got to be a little bit more juice. Yeah, I mean, like coming off a bad game as well. So not the reason I bet it, but I just threw in there just because I think it kind of probably does add to it a little bit. So Jaden McDaniels over 1.5 assists plus 175.
Okay, next up for me, the Sacramento Kings open their season tonight against the Timberwolves here in Sacramento. I think this one has the makings of a fun one. We're going to go over 221 for the full game total here. So a lot of shootouts between these teams here lately. Over the past couple seasons, 8 of the last 9 games between these teams reached at least 227 points. 2 or 3 games last season reached 235 combined points. And, you know, a little bit of a takeaway here from Minnesota's home or opener against the Lakers the other night. They shot 41 threes. Now, they didn't hit enough of them, but this is a 3-point shooting team. And so are the Kings. Could be bombs away for them as well. They ranked 3rd in the NBA in 3-point attempts last season, just under 40 per game. So each team could be throwing up a lot of threes here. And a lot of breathing room here with this number two. Look at Kings home games last season. Average combined score of 234.2 in their home games last season. Not a very good defensive team. So hopefully we see each team jacking up a lot of threes, hitting a lot of threes, and we go over 221 in that one. John, bring it home. Final pick of the show today. What do we got?
Last assist prop, another 1.5. Chet Holmgren over 1.5 assists. Minus 115. So he's playing against the Denver Nuggets. You're playing against Nikola Jokic. They signed Isaiah Hartenstein in the offseason, honestly, probably for Nikola Jokic because, you know, the game plan the Wolves used against him was Towns on him, Gobert as the help, and you probably want Hartenstein on him, Holmgren as the help defender to guard him. So Hartenstein's out. He's not playing. This, to me, that just helps you. There's obviously secured and maybe potential for elevated minutes here with Chet Holmgren because you're going to need a big to guard Jokic. It's just the way it works. Like you need a really good defender and Chet Holmgren is a good defender. I don't know if he'll be the help or the main guy, but either way, it should help his minutes. The other thing too is they're going to look to attack Jokic on like Jokic's defense. You just can't let Jokic stand on defense and you're going to make him work. And Chet Holmgren can do that. He can put the ball on the ground. He can pull him out with his shooting. It should create potential assists. Lastly, the one thing I am kind of interested to see, this is just a guess. I'm not sure. Hartenstein's a great passer out of the middle. The Thunder were running sets in NBA preseason where they were utilizing him as an assist guy, kind of as a hub. That's not really Holmgren, but maybe those sets stay because Holmgren's taking a spot at the five. So maybe Holmgren gets a couple more chances out of sets that they were running for Hartenstein, like a playbook that was kind of designed for Hartenstein because Holmgren's taking that spot. We don't need it, but I'm just saying it could be cool. It could be something that really helps this prop. And it's only 1.5 minus 115. So I'm going Holmgren here. I really like the matchup.
Okay, there you have it. 4 total bets from John Mettler and I. 4 games on the board here tonight in the NBA. A couple good-looking ones. I'm surprised the Mavericks all the way up to 8.5 here against the Spurs, who a lot of people are expecting to maybe, compete for a play-in potential.
Yeah, sure.
Potentially. I woke up this morning and I was very intrigued to see what Klay Thompson's numbers were going to be. I was hoping maybe get a little bit of a discount on his three-pointers, his points, three-pointer set at 3.5, points set at 16.5. I would lean the over on both. I couldn't quite pull the trigger though. You know, I think I keep saying this, he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder. I think he is. I think he's, you know, he feels burned a little bit by the Golden State Warriors organization. He unfollowed them on Instagram, for God's sakes.
He's also, he's never really played with a, like a table setter. Like Curry's not a big assist guy, right? So like Doncic, in terms of, my God, Doncic, you stand, you could be coming over your head or around the back out of nowhere, right? In the shot pocket for a three pointer. So he's never really played with a big assist guy that helps set him up where he is just like a purely catch and shoot guy. So that, that could be interesting too. Doncic and Kyrie, two guys, right?
Yeah. Game of the night, OKC. Thunder taking on the Nuggets there. We'll see how the Nuggets respond to him choking out of the playoffs there last year. But John, you're going to be right back with us tomorrow. I think we have 8 or 9 NBA games on the board tomorrow. So yeah, we're going to have our usual 2 or 3 picks each, I would imagine. And it is a monster show, our biggest show in a very long time here tomorrow. We have Brad Powers leading off with college football, some best bets, talking leans and picks for the biggest games as well, followed by all of our best bets for the Sunday NFL games, followed by, I don't know what order we're going to do this, and we probably have to show the World Series somewhere. World Series. So World Series, Game 1, and then NBA. So covering 4 different leagues on the show tomorrow from a betting perspective. So Before You Bet will be the place to be. To recap some of these bets here for today, Vikings -2.5, Matthew Stafford over half an interception. Those are my NFL plays. Jingles went with Jalen Naylor over 25.5 receiving yards and Matthew Stafford over 33.5 pass attempts in the NBA. Kuzma under 19.5 for me. T-Wolves Kings over 221. Metler went with Jaden McDaniels over 1.5 assists and Chet to go over 1.5 assists as well. Hopefully some first quarter hits. No sweat on those ones. That does it for the show today. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Thank you to all of my guests for joining today. Thank you to producer Mick, who's on the mend here a little bit, feeling a little bit better as we reach the weekend, as we approach the weekend. Thank you to BetMGM for sponsoring the show. Make sure you check them out for all of your sports betting needs. Guys, best of luck with your bets tonight. We will see you again tomorrow. Woo!